Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting the Productivity Show. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/TPS. Start living a better life today. Thanks also to Gusto for supporting the Productivity Show. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll and benefits to small businesses across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PCMag. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS.
Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Do you want to make a big change in your life? Most people think that you need to make drastic lifestyle changes that usually don't last. At Asian Efficiency, we believe that when you want to make big changes in your life, what you actually should be doing is make small, consistent changes over time, and usually you'll get much better results when you do that. In today's episode, we're going to show you different ways of how you can implement small, consistent changes in your life to lead to big things. So if that is interesting to you, definitely stick around. You can find links to everything that we share on the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/352. And now, on with the show. Hey there, this is Tan Pham, founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And today with me, I'm joined by my co-host, Brooks Duncan. How are you today, Brooks?
I'm excellent. We are recording this 1 hour earlier than we normally do, so I have a little more coffee in me than normal, so I will try to translate that into the podcast.
Oh, we're going to be seeing an energetic Brooks Duncan. That's a rare sighting. Brooks is normally very calm and chill and collected, so I'm curious to see how this episode is going to go today. One of the things we always like to do before we start diving into the content is sharing some of our favorite productivity resources as of lately. So we have three of them here, and Brooks, I know you have them prepared, so would you mind sharing them with the audience today?
Absolutely. So resource number one is called Microsoft Power Toys. And this was shared in the dojo by dojo member William, who always shares really great tips. And so Microsoft Power Toys is something that's been around for years and years and years. The latest version is productivity enhancements for Windows 10. So there's like a program launcher, keyboard manager for creating shortcuts and stuff like that. There's a Windows manager. There's all sorts of different free tools, completely free if you're a Windows user, called Microsoft Power Toys. So if you use Windows 10, make sure to check that out. We'll link to that. The second one also comes from the dojo, but it actually comes from a question that was asked to me by dojo member Chris for a recommendation for something that can convert a normal desk into a standing desk, so something you put on top. And I don't have personal experience with this, but I know many people who really, really like it, and it's called the Cora by Foley. So again, this is something you put on your desk, and when you want your normal desk to be a standing desk, it'll just raise up. There's lots of different things that can do this, but I know the Cora is really popular. So again, that'll be linked to in the show notes. And the final one, which will tie into what we're talking about today, is called Text Expander. So this is a tool that both Tan and I have used for years and years and years and years, and most members of the Asian Efficiency team do as well. And this is a tool that can translate snippets of text that you type into larger blocks of text, which have application pretty much anywhere on your computer or even your mobile device as well. It's such a huge time saver. So it leads in perfectly for what we're going to talk about today.
We will have links to everything that we just mentioned in the show notes, so you can go to theproductivityshow.com/352, and you'll find the links all there. All right, we're going to be talking about the power of small changes here today, and this episode is really relevant to you if you want to make positive changes to your life, but you've failed many times. You've tried a lot of different things, and we want to show you a different way of how you can install habits that you want, make changes in your life that you want that are going to be everlasting, without having to make drastic changes. And it sounds counterintuitive at first, but if you stick around, you'll see why this approach is so different, but also much more powerful. If you have tried lots of different things in the past to free up time, like following traditional time management tips, and it hasn't worked for you, I think today's episode is also going to be very valuable to you, because we're going to show you how small tweaks here and there, saving 5-10 minutes here and there, can lead to lots of free time that you can win back in a week. And no matter how advanced you are when it comes to time management and productivity, I know there's something in it for you here today. So I'm really excited to kind of start diving in here. One thing I do want to announce is that we have a new course coming out called Easy Organization System. So if you're interested in this particular course, it's all about how you can organize your files, notes, and photos. So if you want to check out that course, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/organize. And next week's episode is an interview I did with Will Henshaw. He's the CEO of Focus at Will, which is a productivity music company. And we start diving into how you can listen to music and have specific tracks get you focused and really be in a good state and get into a flow state using certain tracks and music. And so it's a really interesting and fascinating interview I did, and I'm really excited to share this with you. So that's coming out next week. So Brooks, we're going to be talking about the power of small changes, and I want to sort of kick it off with you here. Why are we talking about this topic?
Yeah, well, anybody who's interested in productivity presumably wants to change something about their life, whether it's their work life, their personal life. We all want to do things better and better. And we, a lot of times we get in this mindset, and this is kind of fueled by social media and seeing these amazing things that other people do. You know, you kind of feel like you need to make these huge drastic changes in your life to get to where you want to be. You need to, like, say you want to get more healthy or more fit, you need to work out 6 or 7 days a week. If you need to be productive, you need to wake up at 5 a.m. You always hear about everybody waking up at 5 a.m. and you feel like you need to all of a sudden start doing that. Maybe you need to work that extra harder. You know, you need to hashtag crush it and grind and work harder than everybody else to just make, you know, more income. It's very easy, and it's very, like, you can kind of see why we get into that mindset, but we really believe that that is not necessarily the case. You know, there are small changes that you can make in your life, in your work, whatever it is you're trying to improve, that really, really can add up and have a big impact over time. It doesn't always need to be the home run. You can make the, you know, singles, to use a baseball analogy. I don't know why I'm making that analogy in Canada, but you know, you can get around the bases by making singles and doubles. It doesn't have to be a home run every single time. Say you want to read more, just reading 20 pages a day, that could be like 30 books a year. Or you have a savings goal, just saving $10 a day, that's like $3,650 saved up in a year. That could be a month of emergency savings, that could be a mortgage payment, or a couple, depending on where you live in the world. Even just, you know, walking 10 minutes a day, that adds up to 10 marathons a year. So these small little changes we make can really have a big impact. It doesn't always have to be the super hardcore ones.
Yeah, oftentimes people think that if they want to get like a big goal accomplished, or they want to make a drastic lifestyle change, that they have to do something super big and drastic, which oftentimes is very unsustainable, right? Like you talked about, waking up at 5 a.m., working out 6 times a week. And these are all good things, don't get me wrong. However, oftentimes for most people, they're just not sustainable. And so I'm a big believer, and here at AE, Asian Efficiency, we are big believers of the idea that you can work smarter, not harder, to get what you want. So it's just a different way of getting to the goal, right? There's different routes you can take to get to Rome, and some are longer, some are a little bit more efficient, and some of them are a little bit more scenic, but they're all different routes. And I think one of those routes is to be smarter about how you're going to get there. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that if I want to make a goal and I think about my strategy to get there, oftentimes I'm thinking about all the leverage points that allow me to get there. And oftentimes what I see is that you can make really consistent small changes over time to get to the goal that I want, right? So if I want to get 10K steps in a day, for example, walking for 10-15 minutes just as a starting point is a good way to kind of get to that goal of 10K steps a day. So I actually did that earlier this year, in February of this year, which is the shortest month of the year. And I set a monthly goal for myself to say, hey, I'm going to do 10K steps a day. And on average, according to my Oura Ring, I was already averaging out about 8,000 steps. So I just need about 2,000 steps a day extra to kind of get to that particular average, which actually isn't really that much. It was about walking 10, 15 minutes or so, and I was actually being able to get to that goal. And so by the end of the month, I was able to say, hey, I hit 10K steps away. And it sounds like a significant goal, but in reality, anybody can do this, right? And so I want people to really understand that you don't want to underestimate the power of small, consistent changes. And the analogy I always like to give is, if you want to win back an hour or two a day, you don't have to make drastic changes to your life. You can win back 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And when you add that all up, you win back an hour or 2 hours back in a day. And I didn't realize how powerful this was until I moved to Austin and I started to shop at Whole Foods. So Whole Foods was actually started in Austin, Texas, and it's now, you know, a national chain here in the United States. And for those who don't live in the US, it's basically the biggest grocery store when it comes to like organic foods. And they kind of started this Whole Foods kind of like movement as a grocery store. But it's also known as really expensive, right? And then there's this other grocery store called Trader Joe's, which is a little bit more affordable, but it has the same organic foods. And usually they have a smaller selection, but the prices always blow me away how big of a difference in savings I have. So for example, every time I go to Whole Foods, the joke is always, there's no way I spend less than $100 every time I leave there. And this is just for one person for, you know, 4 or 5 days of food, right? And every time I go to Trader Joe's, I spend maybe like $35, $40. And I buy the exact same items, like the eggs, the broccoli, the spinach, you know, the blueberries. And I'm always surprised when I walk away, seeing that I saved myself like $60 or something like that. And I go, why is this? When you look at individual items, I might save like 50 cents on avocados per avocado, right? But when you buy like 15 to 20 items, saving 50 cents or a dollar here, that's easily added up $10 to $20 right there, right? Now, imagine many of you who are listening, when you go to the grocery store and you shop for your significant other and you have kids as well, any 50 cent savings, when you multiply it up by 40 or 50 or 60 items that you buy in a grocery run, that could easily save you like $100 a week, which is an extra $400 a month, which is like $5,000 a year, right? Imagine what you can do with an extra $5,000 a year, a lot, right? And it's the same thing that's true for your time. Saving 5 or 10 minutes here or there doesn't seem like much in itself. But when you do it 10 times, 15 times in a day, you can win back like 2-3 hours easily. And that's the thing. Most of us don't realize most of our days are filled up with what we call time squanders. These like 5 to 10 minute tasks that are essentially time wasters that happen every single day, oftentimes without you even noticing it. So for example, you might not notice that you might be searching for a PowerPoint presentation for like 5 minutes. You're like, oh yeah, I'm clicking around, I'm searching on Dropbox, I'm searching on my local files, I'm searching in my email inbox, and searching for like 5 to 10 minutes, and you're like, oh, all right, I finally found it, there I go. But you spend like 5 to 10 minutes doing this. Imagine being able to do that in like 5 seconds, right? 5 seconds versus 5 minutes. I mean, it's almost like a factor of 100. And so it's actually even more, but just for some simple math. And the idea here is that you have a lot of these time squanders throughout your whole day without you actually realizing that they are there. And so to give you another example, finding an email attachment in your inbox, I know Brooks, you've dealt with this before. When you're CC'd on a chain of emails with like 7 different people and everyone's replying with like version 2.1 and then it's like version 3.2 and then it's like, you know, 20 emails later, the final version is somewhere in there and you go, oh my gosh, where do I find this attachment? And you have to search through your inbox. You know, that's a mess. You know, that's going to take a while and you run into the risk. This is also a big thing of getting distracted because now when you're checking your email, not only are you getting lost in the sea of emails, but now you get distracted by other emails that are coming and you go, oh, wait, I need to open this email now. And now you start to get in this hole where you get distracted, you start to lose even more time, and then you have this snowball effect where you get even more wasted time in your life, right? Another example of this is like, let's say you're looking for a meeting notes page or just a note with the meeting notes of last week's meeting. And you know it's somewhere in the clouds, you know, like maybe it's stored in this particular location, and then you go there and you're like, oh, I can't find it. And now you have to ask one of your coworkers, you know, to see if they know where it is. So you send them a message on Slack or something like that, or in Teams, and then you wait for them, right? And now you're like following up to see if they can find it. And while you're waiting for the answer, you might go on YouTube just to kill a little bit of time before you get the answer that you're waiting for. And now you're just like wasting even more time because you're getting distracted again, right? And the same thing happens with like photos that you took a while back. And like, I can go on and on and on and on with documents, presentations, whatever files you're looking for. These are the things that we call time squanders. It's just the little things that end up wasting your time. And I know, Brooks, you have a bunch of those in your life as well in the past. If you had to estimate like how much time you ended up wasting in a day, what would you say you would waste on an average typical day?
Yeah, I mean, it probably added up to an hour, maybe even an hour and a half a day. That's the sort of thing, you know, you talk about time squanders and you talk about how these things just like sneak up on you. And it could easily be an hour a day that gets eaten up and you don't notice the impact really. It appears in aggregate as you realize you haven't gotten everything done the week that you thought you would. And a lot of the big reason is these little time squanders that just steal little bits of your time, energy, and attention from you. And they really do add up.
So when I think about all the things you can do to save time, one of the things I want to have you take away from today's episode is to think about all the 5 to 10 minute time squanders you have in your day and imagine being able to streamline those. Imagine being able to eliminate some of those things. How much extra time would you have in a day? And chances are it's probably about an hour and a half, or even 2 hours in a day. Imagine you had an extra 5 hours in a week, or an extra 7, 8, 9, 10 hours in a week. What would you be able to accomplish with that extra free time? Probably a lot of different things, right? Fun fact, Asian Efficiency started back in 2011, and it started with me working about 7 hours in a week, writing and publishing a blog post every single week for about 6 months before it turned into a business. And I was just blogging every single week, spending about 5 to 7 hours a week. And it was, you know, spent time on researching, writing, editing, updating, publishing, and so on, which eventually led to the business that I have today, right? With now Brooks here on the show, right? With the Productivity Show, customers that we have all over the world, over 15,000 of them, one of the biggest podcasts in the world when it comes to productivity and blog. And so it all started with like me working 7 hours a week that I freed up from doing other things. And so imagine what you can do with an extra 5 to 7 hours a week. A lot of things, right? And so we want to share some of the ways you can do this in your personal life. And we're going to share 3 ways you can win back an hour and a half a day by just eliminating time squanders. So Brooks, what was the first one that we want to advise people to do?
Yeah, well, like you said, there's so many different ways you can eliminate time squanders. And for you listening to this, it kind of depends on what your time squanders are. So we're going to share 3 examples, but you can extrapolate these to other things that you might have going on in your work life or your personal life, whatever it is. Speaking of distraction, there's still like a part of me thinking of all these things that Trader Joe's has that we can't access as Canadians while the border's closed. So we're all just waiting up here for the borders to reopen so we can get our Trader Joe's. But I will start with number one of the 3 ways to eliminate time squanders. And number one is to optimize everything that is upstream. And that what we mean by that is upstream from the thing that you're trying to do. And when we talk about upstream, we're talking about like, this is like a production thing. So whatever it is you're working on or whatever it is that you're doing, things that are upstream are things that originate earlier on in the process. This is common in like manufacturing and the oil and gas industry. It's things that happen before the thing that you're trying to do. So let's say you're doing stuff with a computer. Maybe you're writing. Maybe you're doing something where you're like on your computer all the time. Well, increasing your typing speed is an upstream optimization that you can do that will help you write, say, 20% faster. And so you think to yourself, if everything I wrote was 20% faster, how much would that open up? Or maybe you're working in your app and you learn the keyboard shortcuts. So you're saving like 2 to 5 seconds here and there. But as you're when you're sitting there working for 5 hours a day in front of your computer, that really, really adds up. Maybe it's using text expansion, which we just talked about, using the text expander app as one of our top three resources in the dojo. Joel, who is our awesome transcriber that pulls notes and stuff like that together, Joel made a good point, which a text expander will actually track how much time that it saves you. So that's a perfect example of a tool that can actually demonstrate to you as you're using it how many of these time squanders it's removing. Maybe improving your internet connection, just like speeding everything up. If your job or the things you're doing is relying on uploading and downloading and doing videos and stuff like that, increasing your internet connection can be a huge upstream optimization that pays off. Like an example from the world of cooking, I know, is the concept of mise en place. So having everything organized ahead of time, which saves you a bunch of time, it reduces errors, and it saves space. So it's like a triple win. So getting everything organized that you're going to need from the recipe first before you start going is another example of an upstream optimization. For myself, an example is like the podcast. So there's so many, I'm sure most people listening to this don't have a podcast, but I'm sure you can imagine that there's a lot of different steps that need to be done when you're planning the podcast, when you're about to record the podcast, when you're recording the podcast. So I optimized the upstream activities as much as I could with automation to, you know, automatically add things to my task manager, automatically create calendar invites, do like the setup on my computer, and like at a very minimum, this saves me like 15 minutes a week. It's probably more, but let's just be conservative and say 15 minutes a week. So that's 13 extra hours a year, that, and also makes things more accurate. That's the good thing about a lot of these optimizations as well. So it's just something that really, really paid off every single week for me. And whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's technology related or not, chances are there's a lot of upstream activities you can optimize that will really have a big impact for you, especially extrapolated over time.
The powerful thing about upstream optimization in this case is that it has a huge trickle-down effect, right? So for example, like you mentioned earlier, having a faster computer allows you to do other things faster. Because, for example, if you have to render a video, right? Let's say you made your own YouTube video or just made a family video vacation or something like that. If you had an old computer, it might take, I don't know, 30 minutes to render that video versus having somewhat of a newer computer with a faster processor and better graphics card. It might take like 3 to 4 minutes. So that's already maybe 25 minutes there that you save by just having a faster computer. Now imagine doing this every single day, right? You would save essentially, you know, 5 times 25 minutes, like that's 125 minutes. It's like 2 hours in a week just by having a faster computer. And you oftentimes don't realize those gains until you start upgrading your stuff, right? And so having a faster internet connection, being able to type faster, things like that, these are things you do consistently every single day and that you deal with. And so wouldn't it make sense to optimize all these different things that then trickle down into other things that you're doing, right? And so one of the things that I think very good at is just figuring out ways how we can optimize all these different things in our lives that are upstream. And so I have a super fast internet connection at home. I have like a gigabyte connection here at home. I have a really fast computer. I know my keyboard shortcuts for my most used apps. And that literally takes like 5 minutes to learn. But again, pays dividends for decades to come, right? And so these are all things you want to pay attention to. So if there's something I would encourage you to think about, it is, look at all the things you're doing consistently and where do you find yourself wasting time? And if you can think about that, what can you do upstream to save time there? Is it getting a faster computer, a faster internet connection, learning how to type faster, using templates? For example, I do a lot of stuff in Evernote. One of the things I do consistently every single Sunday is a weekly review. And guess what? I made a template now so that now anytime I do a weekly review, I have a text expander snippet so it knows how to name something. And then I have a template in Evernote so it prompts me with the right questions to ask every single week. I have a checklist, so now I know to follow the checklist. And now every time I do my weekly review, I don't have to think or fuzz or look at my last week's review to kind of see how I did things and so on. I'm just like opening things up, ready to go, and I'm done in like 30 minutes and I can move on with the rest of my day, right? And so think about all the ways you can optimize something that you do consistently upstream.
All right, this episode is all about how small changes can lead to big results, but it can be hard to know what to change and how. sometimes you need an outside perspective to help you be happier or achieve your goals. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist who can help. It's convenient and you can connect in a safe and private online environment. You can start communicating in under 48 hours and you never have to sit there awkwardly in an uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so if you need to change counselors for whatever reason, it's not a problem at all. They make it easy and free to do that, and BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. It really doesn't matter where in the world you live. Anything you share is totally confidential. You have access to affordable, licensed professional counselors who specialize in things like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, family conflicts, sleeping, grief, self-esteem. You get the idea. There's many different areas and lots that I haven't even mentioned here. If you have some sort of concern, chances are BetterHelp has somebody who can help you out. Just having someone to talk to can really help you take action on the changes you want to make. So start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/TPS. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/TPS for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp, for supporting the Productivity Show. If you have a business, I'm sure you've already found out that small business owners wear a lot of hats. Some of those hats are the reason you got into business in the first place. They're the things that make you money. But some are things like filing taxes and running payroll. Not exactly the dream you had in mind. Well, now you can tame the chaos of payroll, benefits, and HR with Gusto. We've teamed up with Gusto and they're offering you 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS. Gusto is easy online payroll, benefits, and HR built for modern small businesses like yours. It automatically files and pays all state, local, and federal payroll taxes and includes W-2s and 1099s. If your business is a little bit more advanced, maybe you need to deal with health benefits or 401ks, Gusto will do that too. Now, here are some of the reasons why I think Gusto is great. You can sign, store, and organize employee documents all securely online. You can choose from hundreds of benefit plans to fit nearly any budget, and best of all, running payroll only takes 11 minutes on average. So get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS. Go ahead and give it a try at gusto.com/TPS. All right, so we'll move on to the next tip. So tip number two. And before I do that, I just want to give a shout out to our TPS Plus members. So if you are interested in this, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/plus to join. We've had a bunch of new members lately, so thank you so much for joining. And what this is the special upgraded version of The Productivity Show where you get episodes a week earlier. There's no ads, and there's other like special bonuses for joining, like a special little course, a day in the life of TanFam. And if you join the annual plan, which actually is the most popular plan, that kind of surprised me, but it could be the reason why is because there's a great t-shirt that we have called One Tweak a Week that you get for joining the annual plan. So theproductivityshow.com/plus is where you can go to learn more about that. So tip number two is to get good at searching for everything and accessing apps. So again, this is kind of technology related, but you can apply a similar concept to whatever it is you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to improve. And the concept behind this is whatever it is that you're working with, whether it is files on your computer, whether it's apps that you launch all the time, whether it is looking for emails, you know, whatever it is, getting good and building your skills at searching for and accessing things in a more productive way is something that, again, pays off over and over and over again. And it's not something that has to take a lot of time to learn. In fact, it's very, very easy. And in a lot of cases, the tools that you need to use are often built right in already. There are third-party tools, which we're going to talk about, but you can get started without having to download or install anything. But this is just a concept of really quickly and easily being able to get to the things that you need. And if you can improve your skills on that, you're just faster at everything you do overall. So if you are using your phone or on Windows or on Mac, there is built-in search right there. So you can just usually swipe down or click in the search box, or there's a keyboard command, and that will automatically let you type in a few words and jump to write what you're looking for. On iOS and Mac, it's called Spotlight. However, there's Windows search as well. If you want to get a little bit more advanced, this is something we were just talking about in the live stream, because I was talking about the pre-production optimizations. Dojo member Joel was asking if there's any post-production optimizations and automations. And I say, yeah, I use a tool called Alfred to do a lot of that. So whenever I'm accessing files, whenever I'm looking for something, whenever I'm launching an app, I use a tool on my computer called Alfred, which is a Mac app. I know, Tan, you use LaunchBar, which does the same thing. On Windows, there's lots of tools for this as well. So in the top three resources, I mentioned PowerToys, and there's something called PowerToys Run, which lets you do that. And there's also a popular tool called ActiveWords also that will do a lot of this stuff for you. If you want to go next level, like really, really next level, you can automate a lot of the stuff you're doing with automating keyboard shortcuts and chaining together commands. And there's all sorts of crazy automations you can do to be even more productive. Even if you don't want to do any of this third-party automation stuff, even just using the built-in search will have a really big productivity impact for you over the long term, both for accessing files and folders, but also for starting up the programs and the app that you want to use.
Yeah, so I would always recommend that whatever app you're using, they oftentimes have a search field, right? And some apps or some operating systems have particular search commands that you can use to find for certain things. So for example, within the Mac ecosystem, you can find and sort stuff by just document type. So you can say, hey, only show me stuff that are PDF documents. And just something so simple like that allows you to find stuff and access stuff so much quicker. And personally, I'm a big fan of the tool LaunchBar, which is on the Mac, like you mentioned, Brooks. And if you're on Windows, PowerToys or ActiveWords would be something very similar. And so installing an app like that and just learning how to use it, maybe spending 5 to 10 minutes that I did back in 2014 when I first got it, still is paying dividends today back in, you know, now in 2021. So that's 7 years of optimization and time savings that I've had. And I mean, I can't even guess how many hours I've saved over the years. It was probably like hundreds and hundreds of hours at this point. And so I highly encourage you to think about what can you do when it comes to the apps that you're using in terms of searching more effectively and efficiently. And if you just think about that question, you'll start to notice that there's probably a lot of opportunities for you to get a little faster and to eliminate a lot of those time squanders you have in your day. Because face it, you search for a lot of stuff, whether you're actively searching for something or you're just like browsing around, right? And if we can do that a little faster and we do this repetitively in a day, like 10, 15 times in a day, again, you can free up an hour and a half, 2 hours in a day, easy.
And even if you're somebody who doesn't use all these apps and programs on your computer, if you're like, yeah, that all sounds great, but everything I do is online, you can still get a lot of these benefits. You can set up these systems to like jump directly, like, you know, type GD to jump to Google Drive, have searches for all your different web tools that you use, have that built in. So you can just type a few keywords and then jump right to the search term in the web app that you use. So this concept applies whether you're using local apps on your computer, on your mobile device, or on the web. It's all good. It'll all pay off. And that's such a great point of, you know, I can't even imagine when I first installed Alfred and set all this up. And it probably was around 2014 or something like that. And it's just been paying off. You know, we're recording this in 2021, and it's been paying off ever since with very little maintenance. All right, so that's tip number two, to improve your skills at searching for everything and accessing everything. Tip number three is to become more organized with your files, notes, and photos. And this is just such a big time squander. You've got all these things that you work with all the time. You know, it's email attachments. You're like looking for a certain file and you're opening all these documents up one by one to see what it is, to find the one that you're looking for. You've got a ton of different variations. You know, you've got a document called final version V1, V2, or something like that. This stuff really can waste a lot of time. And, you know, Tan, you gave a great example. If you could take something that used to take you 5 minutes and make it take 5 seconds, that is just something that adds up so much over time. Now, we're not going to drill too much into this because in our last episode, if you haven't listened to it yet, TPS 351 is called How to Organize Your Files, Notes, and Photos. We went through this in greater detail. So the key points for that, I mean, we do recommend you go back and listen to it for sure. But the key points of that is number one, add key folders to your sidebar. This is a huge productivity win. Number two, have a consistent and descriptive and simple naming convention. And then the third point is to create an easy organization system. And again, we talked about this in a lot more detail in the last episode, theproductivityshow.com/351. But if you're like, I don't want to figure this stuff out, Brooks and Tan, I want you to just like take me through this and give me recommendations. Like Tan mentioned earlier, we do have this course that we're launching. You can check it out at theproductivityshow.com/organize. And we will take you through all of this step by step live and help you get your digital organization set as well.
Yeah, I would say the biggest opportunity for many of us here today to win back, say, 1.5-2 hours a day is to be organized with your files, notes, and photos. And if you have some sort of organizational system in place, you know where to put stuff, you know where to find stuff, you know how to name something, you know how to search for something, you can go from searching for something for 10 minutes to having it down and accessed and open in like 5 seconds. And that's a huge win. And imagine doing this multiple times in a day. That's easily 1.5 hours a day that you could win back for the things that actually matter to you. And that's why this is so important to us, and why we wanted to do an episode last week about this particular topic, but also why we wanted to create this course, because we see so many people struggling with this. And sometimes here internally, we take it for granted how easy it is for us and how organized things are and how simple things are when we see other people struggling and we go, why aren't they like organized in this fashion? And it's because no one has showed them how to organize all this stuff, right? Nobody has showed you how to organize your digital files, your notes, your photos, and so on. It's kind of like, just kind of assumed that you know how to do things, but there's no easy way to organize stuff. And many of us then sit down and say, well, I have like thousands of files right now and such a huge backlog. I don't even know where to start. It seems kind of daunting. And that's why we wanted to create this course that's going to help you get started with this, even if you have thousands of disorganized and unorganized stuff laying around. Everyone can do this. It doesn't require any technical skills or being a coder or of any sorts. Anyone can do this. And so definitely check out last week's episode, but also just understand that if you can be organized with your files, notes, and photos, that is such a huge opportunity right now to get really productive and to save a lot of time. And that's the number one thing I would take away for 2021 for most people, is just to be organized with all that stuff. Because you're doing stuff every single day with them. You're repetitively accessing, searching for stuff. Imagine having all of that in your fingertips in like 5 seconds or less, right? So if there's anything that I want to end the show with, you know, again, tip number three is to be organized with your files, notes, and photos. There's always one action step that we want to give people when they listen to Asian Efficiency and when they consume our content. And for today's episode, what I would suggest you do is just look at all the things you do on a daily basis at work and identify what's like a time squander for me. What is something that I'm doing consistently that definitely could be optimized? Is it searching for stuff in your email inbox? Is it something that you do repetitively and you go, oh my gosh, I wish this could be a little faster? Is it like rendering something like a video and takes a little bit longer than it really should? What are some of the things that really annoy you and you go, oh my gosh, I wish this would actually be done faster, or it would be eliminated altogether? Think about those things this week and notice how much opportunity you have to save time. And if you're interested in checking out our course on this particular topic of being organized with your digital files, again, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/organize. And next week's episode is all about focus music and how you can become more productive listening to specific types of music with the CEO of Focus at Will. And if you want to find links to everything that we talked about today in the show notes, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/352. Thanks again, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.